Well, today we are joined by Chris Clark. Chris is Iowa State University Extension Beef Program Specialist here for this area. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Hey, we got some information the other day with regard to some issues happening out there in the field with some of the corn harvest out there, mold and rot and some issues that are going on out there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think we've had several questions come in through the veterinary diagnostic lab up in Ames. That's part of the Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine. And some of the questions, you know, just based on producer description and stuff, sounds like they're describing just regular corn smut, which is a fungal infection of the corn, but really doesn't cause significant problems. It can harm yield and grain quality a little bit, but typically doesn't cause mycotoxin production or any potential poisoning or toxicity of the cattle. But there are some potential issues with confusing the different kinds of molds and ear rots that are out there, and there's also the potential that corn smut infection can make the ear more susceptible to other more dangerous molds. So we thought it was worth just doing a quick press release and kind of informing people anyway.
Is there a particular reason why this is happening this season? Is there something different about the conditions this year?
Well, I think it's all weather-related. You know, the growth of these fungi organisms or fungal organisms really depends on moisture and temperature. And all of the organisms are just a little bit different. Some of them are more likely if you have maybe drought followed by a cool, wet condition. Maybe other ones are more likely if you have just kind of regular, you know, moist, cool conditions during the fall. I really think the last couple weeks where the temperatures have been just a little warmer and conditions just a little drier, I think that's really helped the overall mold situation. But, you know, I think there for a while when we kind of had some good moisture coming in the plants were pretty well mature and stuff, we were starting to see more and more mold and starting to be a little more concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. So with the corn smut, it's not really they're all important, but it's not really as important an issue as far as the safety and health reasons concerning like mold, for example.
Yeah, that's correct. The corn smut is caused by some organisms that really don't normally produce mycotoxins. And there are several fungal organisms that do produce these mycotoxins, which can really be harmful to our livestock. They can cause disease. They can cause decreased feed intake. They can cause kind of decreased performance. The corn smut organisms don't necessarily do that, but they can be kind of concerning to producers when we start seeing them out there. They can be kind of similar to the more dangerous fungal organisms, and for that reason, it's worth talking about, and I think that's what led to some of the questions coming in, is producers just kind of double-checking and wanting to make sure that there was no toxicity risk with the particular molds that they were seeing.
Sure, and you mentioned kind of up front, too, that this really became an issue because you've gotten so many calls from this part of southwest Iowa.
Yeah, and I can... You know, I honestly haven't gotten a lot of those calls myself. A lot of them have gone directly to the Iowa State University Diagnostic Lab, which is perfectly fine. That's a great resource. And Dr. Inslee up there is the veterinary toxicologist, and he's probably my first go-to resource if I have questions about potential toxins. I think we kind of got started with an email thread going back and forth between some colleagues, and we kind of got to talking that there were several corn smut questions coming from southwest Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Well, are there particular things that folks should look for, that producers should check for out there in the field then to make sure that it's one and not the other?
Yeah, there is, and it's a little tough to describe all of those, you know, on an interview or over the phone. one really great thing would be to talk with your either your local extension agent, your local agronomist, whether it be with extension or with private industry. You know, if we can get you to a good resource online that's got some pictures, you can kind of compare. Aspergillus, for instance, is kind of known for causing kind of a dark green or an off green dust on the corn ear. The corn smut organism is probably a little more known for early in the season creating these little sacs. Those sacs then will rupture or break open later on in the growing season. And by this time of the year, most of those have ruptured and released kind of a black, sooty or powdery dust. And those can really be anywhere on the plant, on the ears, on the leaves, on the stalks. And there are even a couple other ones that are possible. Some create more of a white kind of dust-looking spores. Some create more of a black dust that spread diffusely over the plant. There's one called Alternaria that does that I think they've been seeing over in Nebraska a little bit. We saw that a lot in 2012. I remember after that drought season, you could watch the combines running, and they would just be surrounded by a cloud of dark dust. And at that time, that was a lot of Alternaria, which, again, is not a big problem, but it really liked that dry season followed by then some moisture. And so it just kind of worked out well that particular year.
Well, with regard to this, is this something that should be identified in the field as opposed to in the bin?
You know, there's several ways to go. You can certainly identify it in the field. If you go and pull some ears, strip away the husk and kind of look right at the ear, some of these will cause pretty distinct ear rot, and you can identify them pretty readily in the field. Other ones we can kind of scout for and scan for, you know, for aflatoxin, for instance, they'll sometimes do a black light at the elevator, kind of looking for that. Most reliable way to test for mycotoxins is to actually take a sample of the grain or a sample of your feed and send it to the diagnostic lab at the College of Vet Med up in Ames. And the press release does have a link to the diagnostic lab webpage with lots of great information and with all of the directions and prices and stuff for getting a sample done.
So whatever path they take, they should take one of those paths.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, at this point, hopefully the weather's changed enough and hopefully we're getting far enough along with harvest that if we haven't seen huge issues, we're not going to. But I think it's worth doing some scouting and doing some checking. You know, the mycotoxin-producing organisms can be kind of a problem in terms of being able to feed or market your grain. On the other hand, if it's just regular corn smut, it might be kind of bothersome, kind of annoying, kind of dusty, but ultimately, hopefully not any big problem. And in my mind, it's good to kind of know what you've got and what you don't have, just sure. So you kind of know how to proceed.
Absolutely. You can't go forward until you know what you're doing, what you're dealing with there. Chris, can they find more information, for example, on the Extension website?
Yeah. Like I said, I think one of the best places to start is probably the link that we've got in the press release. And it's also available on the Iowa Beef Center webpage. It will take you to a mycotoxin page at the College of Veterinary Medicine, and it talks really in pretty good detail about general disease information, about mycotoxin production and identification, and then it's got things like submission forms, fees for testing, guidelines for collecting a sample. All of that great information is right there. Additionally, you know, people are welcome to contact me or any of the other folks, you know, at the extension office could sure get a hold of me, or Aaron Feugling would be our Southwest Iowa agronomist, and he would be another great resource.
Okay, very good. Lots of places for folks to find that information, and we'll get that link posted also on our website so folks can make a clickable choice there and go right to where they need to go to find out all the stuff they need to know to make sure that they deal with this important issue. Chris, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.